Good evening, everybody. Welcome you to our annual carol service this evening. Let me start with a lot of thanks that we owe for so many who've made this evening possible. We have Matt Francis, who's here to bring the Christmas message to us. Matt is coming over, has come over from Christchurch in Deeside. Thank you very much, Matt. And also, you'll notice that as we go through, you should have a short or a small order of service on the seat near you that'll guide you through this evening. And if you can imagine a week tomorrow on Christmas Day, that you've opened a present, it might be like a train, a toy train, and you've put the batteries in it, or the older ones amongst us, you've wound it up, and once you get it going, you just step back and leave it running. That's what this evening is going to be like, okay? Carol will be followed by message, will be followed by reading. There will be no further announcements. Once we get this train running, it will not stop. Okay, until we get to the end. Those who are reading, you might notice that a number of those who are reading tonight, English is not their first language. And they're from our international cafe, the English class. We're so grateful for those who are reading this evening. I hope you feel and you know that this evening you are amongst friends. And we have some older ones, and we also have some younger ones from the clubs as well, who will be doing the readings for us this evening. So give them all the support that you can. Those of you who have got an order of service, you'll notice that after Bible reading number 5, it says, Men of the Church, Silent Night. If you're a man, will you put your hand up, please? Thank you. If you're a man, you should be able to put your hand up and have the words of Silent Night in your hand. Okay? Now, we practice hard for this. We practice hard. We do it once a year. And that once a year is when we all come and stand on the stage and the men will come up and sing Silent Night. So if you're a man and you've got Silent Night in your hand, please come up where it says Men of the Church, Silent Night. We're very grateful to the musicians and to the sound desk for making this work this evening. But above all, we're here to celebrate Christmas, to celebrate the free gift of Christ to us as sinners. The time when Christ was sent by God of that mission to come for needy sinners such as ourselves, so that we can have our sins forgiven. That's why we give a free gift. That's why we give our gifts at Christmas. Christ is a free gift to us. And before we sing our first carol, O Come All Ye Faithful, the words will come up on the screen. Let us just pray. Let us pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we are here to celebrate and to worship and to give thanks to you. At Christmas time, the gift that you sent in the Lord Jesus Christ, who came down as both God and man, a mystery that our minds cannot comprehend. You sent him down because you knew that we were needy people. You know that we are needy people, that we're in a mess, that we need to have our sins forgiven. Something we can't do ourselves, only you can do through the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't know the day he was born, but what we do know, and the Bible is full of it, your word is full of it, we do know why he came. And we praise you and we thank you that he came into this world to die for sinners, to pay the price that we can't pay ourselves. Lord, as we are guided by you this evening, please be with Matt and help him to illustrate and bring the truths of this simple, wonderful story of Christ coming to earth so that we can have our sins forgiven, so we can have peace with God. We ask now that you'll be with us. Guide us, help those who are reading and help us to welcome them all and support them and encourage them as our friends here this very evening. We ask these things now in your precious name. Amen. Our first carol is O Come All Ye Faithful. Thank you.
To be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
Well, thank you. for that reading. That's great. It's great to sing that lovely carol. It's lovely to be with you. I've come just over the border from North East Wales in Flintshire, and it's great to spend an evening in Southport singing carols and hearing these readings and sharing a few things. One of the things I noticed this year, perhaps more strikingly than in previous years, was how early Christmas lights went up. I don't know if anybody else noticed that. I went down to Cardiff for a meeting sometime in October. It was mid-October, and on the way back went past the house, which was just loads of Christmas lights on. I think I'd driven down the day before and they weren't up, but they were when I came back. I thought, well, that's probably a bit early. So lights going up earlier. Last week I asked a couple of young people a question, like, what do you like about Christmas? And the answer one of them gave was, well, at Christmas, is generally a bit nicer to other people. And there are good vibes, you know that phrase, good vibes at Christmas. And so lights going up earlier, good vibes, people being a bit nicer to one another. That's good, isn't it? But I guess what happens in January? Sometimes it can feel a little bit flat, can't it, when you start taking the lights down and things, and it's maybe a bit cross and just a bit grumpy in January. But we're going to sing a carol in a minute, O Little Town of Bethlehem, and hopefully this line's in there. I didn't check. We sing about the everlasting light. The Lord Jesus Christ is the everlasting light. He's the light of the world. When we get to January, the Christmas lights come down, but Jesus doesn't come down. Jesus is the light of the world. What does light do? Well, it gets rid of darkness. It's quite nice ambience in here this evening with the lights dimmed, but if we turn the lights on, please don't do that, we'd probably all be bright-eyed, but it expels the darkness. That's what Jesus does. Sadly, there's a lot of darkness in our society. There's darkness in our own lives, even in our own hearts. Jesus is the light of the world who gets rid of darkness. He gives hope. Hope for January, for February, hope forever, because he is the everlasting light. Light guides. It shows us the way. Jesus came into this world to show us what it is to be truly human, to give purpose, to give direction, to give hope in the darkness that is everlasting. And in the carols, in the readings this evening, we'll hear a bit more about that and some of the things I'm going to say as well. But just remember that and perhaps pray about that right at the beginning of the service. Lord, you are the light of the world. May you show that light to me this evening and draw me to that everlasting light that is never going to dim and will never disappoint. I think we'll have the next carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem.
Thank you. reading from Luke 1, verse 26 to 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Amen.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and called his name Jesus.
Well, in that first reading that was done by Tanya, we heard about how one of the things that Jesus will be called, which really is who he is Mighty God. That came out in one of the readings there about the fact that that's who's going to be inside Mary, God, Mighty God. How is it that Mighty God shows up? Well, he shows up as a tiny baby, weak, dependent upon his mother. That reading was from Isaiah. Isaiah also says that this baby will grow up into a child, teenager, adult, and he wouldn't be particularly good looking. Maybe he wasn't even a particularly good looking baby, if that's possible. So you think about Jesus, Mighty God. You might think, well, if Mighty God is going to show up on this earth, he's going to be the most stunning looking human being ever lived. But actually, no. People would walk past him in the street and not take a second look. This year, I'm quite into looking at what is the word of the year. What is the word that we've been using or that's come out in our language this year? And there's a couple of organisations that do it. One is Oxford University Press, and their word of the year for this year, I should ask, does anyone know what the word of the year is according to Oxford University Press? I'll give you a clue. It rhymes with fizz. Riz. Well, there we go. Does anyone know what it means? Anyone use the word here who's over the age of 25? Riz. Maybe popular, attractive. I think it's taking the middle bit of the word charisma. A bit like, I guess we would say fridge, which is out of refrigerator. I'm not saying Riz is anything like fridge. I'm just giving an example of how the word comes. But the idea of style, charm, attractiveness, the ability to attract a romantic partner. Well, Jesus, I guess nobody would have been putting on social media the word Riz associated to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's another organisation, the people that produce one of the dictionaries that we have, Collins. They have a word of the year as well. Their word of the year is AI, artificial intelligence. Not going to talk about that this evening. But one of their runners-up was a phrase called Nepo Baby. Now, here's the, any idea what Nepo Baby means? Yeah, somebody's nodding down here. It's the idea of somebody who's born to celebrities. Maybe somebody who's born to sports stars, and then they go on and get a really good sports career because of their parents, or somebody who's born to some actors, and they get a foot in the door as an actor. So nepotism, a nepo baby. Mighty God comes to this earth as a tiny, weak baby, not particularly good looking, and he's born to Mary and Joseph. Nobody's, not celebrity parents, weak. When Jesus was 6 weeks old and they went to the temple to make the offering that they had to give, they made the poor offering because they didn't have any money. So Jesus is born to a family of nobodies. That's how mighty God shows up in this world, because actually he shows his might in weakness. Jesus is the one who draws near to the weak and to the needy and to the poor and to the humble and helps and lifts up and gives life. All the way through Jesus' life, Mary and Joseph's life, because of the fact that Jesus was born. We heard about the virgin birth. Again, we were talking about this with our young people in Deeside. And there would have been questions about Jesus' birth all the way through his life. People would have looked down on him because it would have been a bit scandalous how he was born. And he might well have told people, well, it was a virgin birth. And they would say, oh, yeah, that old one. That's a bit like saying your dog ate your homework. It's just an excuse. He would have been looked down on. There would have been a stigma attached to him. He turns things upside down, this mighty God, because Jesus came to serve and to give his life in order to ransom our lives. Because we need that. A life of loving, committed service. That is what mighty God is all about. Born in a manger. What's a manger? I asked some children this in school doing an assembly on Friday, and as one of them said, well, I could have brought the dog bowl in. It's the thing that animals eat out of. That's where Jesus was laid. Mighty God. But he went to an even more outrageous place, outside of the city of Jerusalem, outside. And he was nailed to a cross, forsaken by God. He became the outsider in order to bring ordinary people in to know God. That's what mighty God does. And because he's mighty God and he's the everlasting light, he will never disappoint. He rescues and he saves. Well, we're going to sing Away in a Manger.
In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child.
And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear.
And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David the Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in the manger."
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased."
When the angels went into heaven,
the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and a baby lying in a manger.
And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them.
Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw him, his star, when it rose, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, and assembling all the chiefs priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. they told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it was written by the prophet. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in the dream not to return to Herod, they departed on their own country by another way.
I noticed the lights went on for the choir. Is that to do with the age profile of the singers and being able to see the words? I didn't realise I struggled to see the monitor. I thought, well, I'll get this. I'll see the monitor, but I really couldn't. So I appreciated the lights coming on. Jesus gives us peace. First reading, Prince of Peace. Peace was mentioned by the big group of angels that appeared in the sky and chanted or sang to the shepherds. They sang about peace. Our culture in the UK, here in England, and probably in the West, has a lot of focus on identity, and this is particularly true for young people, some of you sitting up there. What we're told is you've got to kind of figure out who you are and be true to yourself. Have you heard that phrase or versions of it? It's there in so many of our films, and it's kind of underlying everything in our culture. Be true to yourself. I have a bit of an issue with that. I'm not saying it's all wrong. I think we should be encouraged to do stuff and to use the gifts we've been given. But it also puts a massive amount of pressure on particularly the youth of today. Because you've got to figure out who you are and then be true to that and convince other people that that's who you are so that they affirm and accept you and agree with who you think you are. Did you follow that? It's kind of hard to get across, but that's putting a massive amount of pressure on people today. Because actually, if you don't get people to affirm who you are, then it's on you. You've messed up. You haven't quite figured out who you are or got it across. No wonder we have a society, one of the reasons where there is so much fear, so much anxiety, so much stress, because that's a load that is so hard for young people and grow up into middle-aged people and older people to bear. Sort of following on from that, another big thing in our society, as well as identity, is this idea of freedom. I'm free to do whatever I like as long as it doesn't harm any of you. You okay with that? The problem is, who gets to define what harming is? Because your definition of harming might be different to mine. That's a problem, isn't it? And that can lead to conflict. I'm thinking about peace. And then one other thing, happiness. Happiness is my right. Happiness is my right, and actually there's stuff that I just need to get and enjoy, and that stuff makes me happy. Or maybe it's achieving things,
But the problem is that becomes a bit of a treadmill as well. Because maybe I will be really successful in something. My football days are mainly over now. But maybe there's something else I can get into, maybe bowls or something like that. Maybe I'll be successful at that. But there'll come a time where I won't be able to bend down and bowl as well. It's a treadmill. And there's a lack of peace there as well. When Jesus, this baby, grew up, one of the things he said as a man was, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest, peace, stillness, wholeness." Those burdens I've talked about for young people, they're too big for any of us to carry. We can't climb a ladder to bring ourselves happiness forever. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "Come to me and I will give you rest." He gives peace. I mentioned Isaiah a few times. Another thing that Isaiah said was the punishment that brought us peace was upon him, Jesus Christ. We can't earn peace with God. Jesus came in order to bring peace with God through the sacrifice of himself on the cross. Jesus Christ reveals who you really are. He shows us what it truly is to be human. And then if we trust him, he gives us the strength to live out the life he calls us to live. That's freedom. That's blessedness. That's identity. Because he shows us who we are and enables us to live as God intended. And it's a restful life. And really that's what these readings, these carols, this church, the things I'm saying, are commending to you this evening. Jesus Christ, because he gives us peace. Before we sing Joy to the World, I don't know if anybody's seen, there's an advert for a pub in Northern Ireland, and they've done it this year, and it went a bit viral on YouTube and other things, and they've done it in a kind of John Lewis style advert, so it's going to get a whole load more views tonight when you go home if you've not seen it. Charlie's Bar in Enniskillen in Northern Ireland, and there's this lonely man at one point in the advert. He's visiting a grave and he's very sad, and people are kind of shunning him in the street. But then he goes into Charlie's Bar and he's brought a drink. I think it's a pint of Guinness. And then he sits at a table and a young couple come and sit with him with their dog. And of course, their dog climbs up and sits on his lap, and it's all very happy. And it comes up at the end, a quote from Yeats, I think it is. He was a poet, wasn't he? I think a writer, poet. "There are no strangers here. Only friends you haven't met yet." Charlie's Bar. Well, actually, when it comes to God, in and of ourselves, we're more than strangers. We're actually enemies of him. Not at peace with him. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, enemies of God, Christ died for us. If we trust him, we can know that peace, that wholeness, that rest that only the Lord Jesus Christ can give. Well, this is a joyful news. So let's sing Joy to the World.
Thank you. John chapter 1 verses 1 to 5 and verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made.
In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Well, it's been a delight to hear all of these readings from different age groups. It's lovely to hear. It's lovely to hear you children read as well. And that's been great. So thank you. Full of grace and truth. That's what the last word said. That's what Jesus came. He's full of grace and truth. Jesus can be trusted. Going right back to the beginning and the first reading. Mighty God. He's also everlasting Father. Now for some people, sadly, Father can be a damaged word, perhaps because of relationship with a dad or a lack of one. What makes Jesus so different? How do I know I can trust him, this everlasting Father? Well, I've already mentioned one advert. I'm going to mention another now. It's the Aldi Christmas advert. There's somebody here this evening wearing an Aldi Christmas jumper. Kevin the Carrot, Kevin and the Christmas Factory. Have you seen it? Just read a few lines from it. It's a lovely poem. Christmas isn't selfish. It's not all me, me, me. Yet nobody had mentioned this to the mischievous Kiwi. Only Kevin the Carrot clearly understood the true meaning of Christmas and the importance of being good. Then right at the end, seasonal goodwill was truly in the air, for Christmas is a time that's sweeter when you share. So Kevin the Carrot understands the meaning of Christmas about sharing. It's sweeter when you share. I guess that's a bit of fun, isn't it? How can we trust? How do we know we can trust the Lord Jesus Christ? Because he gives and he shares. What did he give? What did he share? Well, he gave everything, didn't he? His whole life as a child at 12 years old, he's recorded in the Bible as asking questions to the religious leaders. He was no doubt trying to find out as much as he could about what his own life was going to be like. And the Bible is full of stuff that talked about how Jesus would one day go to a cross and be in darkness, and he would utter words, my God, why have you forsaken me? He gave everything in order to rescue and save ordinary people like us here this evening. How do we know we can trust the Lord Jesus Christ? Because he is described as the husband who lays down his life for his bride, his people. He is altogether trustworthy, utter commitment. One of my favorite stories about the Lord Jesus Christ, and when I say story, truth, it's a true story. I think I may have mentioned this last time I was here, actually, so I'm getting repetitive, but I don't mind because it's one of my favorite things. The Lord Jesus Christ one day met with a woman, and she was a Samaritan woman. If you know anything about the history of that time, Jews and Samaritans didn't speak. They would never sit at a meal table together. They wouldn't go into one another's homes. They wouldn't share a drink together. Jesus met with this woman at a well, and he asked her for a drink. It's obvious from the story, Jesus didn't have a cup. So the only way he was going to have a drink was to share this woman's cup, a Samaritan. And she was a woman. Jesus was crossing boundaries in order to meet with this woman. This woman, she's got a bit of a past, the Bible tells us, and we can frown at her. But actually, it's quite likely that she would have suffered a great deal at the hands of men who had just let her down and mistreated her and possibly abused her. And she would have kept herself hidden from society because she would have been gossiped about and looked down on, maybe seen as somebody who was bad luck. Maybe some of her husbands had died. Maybe she was seen as somebody who was a bit cursed. But Jesus went and met her at a well. And when this woman met with Jesus, she was no longer hiding. She went back into the village and she went round, you can imagine her, I'm using my imagination a bit here, knocking on people's doors, shouting out, "Come see a man." None of the men she had had in her life, or at least most of them, had been people she wanted to share. She was ashamed of them. But here was a man she had met. And she realized he was one who was altogether trustworthy, different, everlasting Father. She could trust him. He knew all about her. And yet, he wanted to know her, to love her, to serve her. And she knew she was safe with him and she could trust him. This Lord Jesus Christ. I guess that's the message of this evening. That woman's message. Come see a man. The man, the Lord Jesus Christ. This church here, talk about this man and sing about him and proclaim him every Sunday and at other times during the week. He's the wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And he laid down his life in order that God and sinners, us, can be reconciled. We're going to sing about that in what is my favourite carol, probably, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. God and sinners reconciled. May it be that you know that reconciliation by trusting this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is altogether trustworthy.
Thank you.
Before we close the service, we'll pray, and then we'll just share some greetings from around the world. We'll say Happy Christmas to each other from around the world. Let's pray to close our service. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, all we can say this evening is thank you. Thank you that we have a Christmas to celebrate. Thank you that we have a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who we can trust implicitly for our life on this earth and our time after we die. Lord, we thank you that this very night we can enjoy peace. Peace with God. So that our sense of guilt and our shame can be wiped away because the Lord Jesus Christ has taken it all. This very night, that can be true if we can just put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can have joy, therefore, in our hearts. We can say, the world has nothing against me. I am free and free at last. Hear the good news that I have, that Jesus has taken me, a sinner, and made me clean. And now I am fit for heaven. And Lord, we can say this very evening that in our hands, in our hearts, because by having you we have true gold. We have a treasure that is ours. A treasure we can enjoy. A treasure that will last forever. A treasure that will take us safely home to be with Christ and with the Lord, and with our God the Father. All these things are only available and only possible because of that gift, that free gift that you brought to us at Christmas, so that we could have our sins forgiven and everything made right between ourselves and you. Lord, we ask again that you'll hear our thanks. And if we're not yet yours this evening, that we can simply confess our sins and say, Lord, we need you. Forgive my sin. And as people in this very room will testify, we'll be made anew. We'll have joy in our heart, peace to proclaim, and treasure that is ours forevermore. Please hear our prayers in your precious name. Amen. Okay, now, before we go and have our tea and our coffee and our cakes, I'd just like to ask for the help of a few of our international friends. Dorina, could I ask you up, please? First of all, haven't our international readers done very well this evening? Can we have a round of applause?
I'll do Romanian.
Romanian. Okay. So, for Dorina's benefit, I'm going to say Happy Christmas, and in English, can you say Happy Christmas back? So, Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
Okay. So, Dorina, in Romanian. Dorina is from Moldova. And it's wonderful. Dorina's learnt her English in Southport, and you may have noticed a Scouse twang every now and then. She says, bust. It's brilliant. So can you say to us, please, which one is Happy Christmas in?
Second one.
And then if we can listen to our teacher, Dorina, and wish her Happy Christmas back in Romanian.
Crăciun fericit. Crăciun fericit. Crăciun fericit.
Brilliant. Thank you. Narula.
Yeah.
Narula came over on a boat not long ago, and he's from Afghanistan. Are you going to wish us Happy Christmas in Afghanistan? What language will that be?
Persian.
In Afghanistan, Narula was a lecturer in Persian literature, so this is the master. So, what are we going to... What's Happy Christmas in Persian?
Christmas Mubarak. Christmas Mubarak.
That one? Right to you.
The one that we can't read. Okay, so can we repeat back to Narula, please? Say it again, please.
Christmas Mubarak.
Super. Thank you very much. Chris. Chris is from Poland. Would you like to wish everybody Happy Christmas in Polish, please?
Wesołych Świąt.
Happy New Year is szczęśliwego nowego roku.
Can we just stick at Happy Christmas? Can you do it again for us, please? Do it again, please.
What?
Happy Christmas again.
Oh, Happy Christmas.
Yeah.
Wesołych Świąt. In Polish.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Szczęśliwego nowego roku. Happy New Year.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Tanya. Are you able to do Russian? But can you do Russian?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Now again, Tanya's from Moldova. Her mother tongue is Romanian, but because of her close links with Russia, you're going to teach us in Russian. Is that right? You can. So what's Happy Christmas in Russian, please?
Счастливого Рождества.
Do it again.
Счастливого Рождества.
In Romanian, Крещен Феричит.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Do we have anybody else here whose English is not their mother tongue? Come on, Ziamara. Ziamara. Thank you. So, from Spain, you're from Mexico? Go on, Ziamara, what are we saying?
Feliz Navidad.
Come on.
Feliz Navidad.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Anybody else? When Kieran read, you probably heard there was a Welsh twang there. I asked him, he's from South Wales, I said, can you say Happy Christmas in Welsh? And he said, no. Okay, so we're going to finish with a song. Thank you very much. For your cake, coffee, mince pies, please help yourselves. You'll notice there's also a Christmas card to you in a white envelope. Please take it with our Christmas wishes. It's for you to pin up on your hearth, over your mantelpiece, or in your home. But Happy Christmas. Thank you very much.